Mike Williams got a new team and a new spot. It's the little things, man. I feel a theme for today's conversation.
That reminds me. You know what that reminds me of?
What's that?
That scene is a scene in School Days where a girl's dancing with Bill Nunn. She said to him, "You so country? You so country? Oh, this got the deal done right here. Mm-hmm. This is good. Where this from?" Well,
it's the little things. Oh, okay. When it's recruiting, it's the little things. You never know what makes a difference. And that's a theme I think we're going to end up coming back to a lot today, both in sports and in my personal life. But honestly, man, let's start with the Jets because, usually doesn't end well with the Jets, as they know throughout their history. They've come up in conversation for us a lot lately. I've had some smart-ass remarks about it. You never miss an opportunity. You're worse than Bill Belichick. You never miss an opportunity to shit on the Jets.
Yeah, exactly.
But you cannot deny. You cannot deny. For what it's worth, because you know how I feel about the offseason Super Bowl, but for what it's worth, you cannot deny the notable additions that the Jets have made this offseason. Tyron Smith, of course, a tackle. Mentioned Mike Williams, Morgan Moses at the other tackle, John Simpson at guard. So they really shored up that offensive line to protect Aaron Rodgers. Tyrod Taylor to back up Aaron Rodgers. Can't get much better as a veteran backup than Tyrod Taylor. And on defense, Javon Kinlaw, Isaiah Oliver, Lakey Fotu. I mean, you know Robert Saleh, go ahead and boys playing on defense. So, but the Mike Williams signing, man, like, if he can stay healthy, and look, it doesn't help playing at MetLife for half your season. But if he can stay healthy, I got to compliment the Jets on finding the perfect compliment to Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, you know what, Mike? I hated to see what happened last year. What was it, four or five snaps into the season, Aaron Rodgers goes down with the Achilles, and then all the hype that we'd just placed at the feet of the Jets and all the attention on the Jets, and remember Hard Knocks, and all the stuff, that's so much attention.
Here we go again.
That it just kind of...
You know we're going to do it again, right?
Yeah, here it is. It's like everything. We're gonna do it again. All the air taken out of the room, the stadium, the tri-state region, go on and on. It was like same old Jets. But that actually, and I didn't want to see that. I wanted to see what Aaron Rodgers would do with them. But Aaron Rodgers' injury was actually a good thing for the Jets because it allowed them to see who they are. Last year, they thought they were a quarterback away from being a Super Bowl contender. They were not. So if Aaron Rodgers had played last year, that offensive line was still terrible. He would have made it better because he's a veteran quarterback. Garrett Wilson still didn't have anybody who could take legitimate attention off of him, even though Aaron Rodgers had his playground buddies there and his hand-picked offensive coordinator. They weren't good enough. So,
like, I wonder Rodgers how much Rodgers would have struggled, low-key.
Yeah,
like,
right, exactly.
You know, like, how much would Rodgers have actually struggled? They might have been 7-10. Yeah.
They may have been, 7-10, 8-9. Maybe one game better. But I love – my favorite signing, Mike Williams, everything you said. Yep, no lies told. My favorite signing is Tyron Smith.
Yeah.
Look, I know he's 33. He hasn't, he's missed a lot of games over the years. But they gave him a contract, and they didn't think he would take it because it was loaded with so many incentives, and they thought he must have had a better deal out there. He didn't, so his contract could be up to $20 million. But that... For him to hit those incentives, he's going to have to play more than he has in the last almost 10 years. But when he does play, that's a dude. Tyron Smith, I mean, that is a great pickup for the Jets. And I'm just surprised that other teams he could be our Trent Williams.
He don't need no help.
That's our Trent Williams right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but I'm falling for it. I'm falling for it, Mike. I'm falling for the Jets hype.
And they still got the 10th pick. And they still got the 10th pick. And obviously the entire draft, but starting with the 10th overall pick to play around with to make this team even better. No, I feel you. There's a lot of reason for optimism with the New York Jets now.
Draft a tackle. Draft another one.
Right. Your long-term problems haven't been solved. Just talked about Tyron Smith's injury history. A tackle would make a lot of sense. When there are some solid ones, there should be some solid ones in that number 10 range. No, you said they weren't a quarterback away. No, and I offered that, well, who's to say they wouldn't struggle with Rodgers given all the roster flaws that they had? But I could also say those rosters, that or those roster flaws or that roster as constructed was not built to support a backup quarterback. So maybe they were a backup quarterback away more than they realized. Because I can't help but wonder what a Joe Flacco, not that Joe Flacco would have signed up to back up Aaron Rodgers. Maybe that would have been better than sitting on the couch as long as he did until the Browns eventually called. But, you know, we've talked a lot about how the Jets didn't properly handle Zach Wilson's development. Not to say Zach Wilson's any good, but his development, some of the decision-making was poor, throwing him in
there,
before
right?
he was ready. He's still there for now, but I'm saying, like, you know, is the roster flaws were exacerbated by the lack of a capable backup. Yeah,
is it
they probably got to pay somebody to take on his contract, but I can't see him coming back again.
But why move on? Why move on? He got Aaron Rodgers coming back. He gave him more support. He gave him a better offensive line. He gave him a number two receiver.
Why move on from now, Zach Wilson?
For Zach Wilson, you got one more year. You don't
that's
have to
an
pick up the
that's
option.
An expensive third quarterback. That's an unnecessarily expensive third quarterback. Because he ain't your backup.
Not really.
He shouldn't
not
be your
really.
Backup. We learned
hey,
that last
why?
Year. Let him do what?
Who's your backup?
Let him do what? Terrell Who's Taylor, I just told you. Terrell
okay.
Taylor.
He's injury prone, too. He gets hurt a lot. Why not let him compete for the job? Terrell Taylor is a great number two or number three. Why not?
I'm saying they should have let him compete for the job from Jump Street, as in when he first got drafted second overall. That ship has sailed for him competing for the job. No, you can't be trusted with
Come
this
on,
job.
Man. You got him under contract. Like
we saw this last year. No, go be great somewhere else.
Last year was injury problems. Not his fault. It wasn't all his fault.
No, okay, good. Thank you for amending that. It wasn't all his fault. Yeah, there were a lot of...
Some of it was.
But he did.
Some of it.
Here's the nicest thing I'll say. Zach Wilson may not be the problem, but he ain't the solution. Okay? And if he ain't if he ain't part of the solution, then you are part of the problem. Yes.
And before I go all in, I'm like, ooh, before I go back in on the Jets, see, this is what happens when you just like jump to conclusions or just just speaking too soon. I spoke too soon because what's that thing you say about you have your thing about you had system quarterbacks. You revised that to
circumstantial quarterbacks.
Then I think you have something you say about
for those
organizations,
that don't understand what I mean.
It's mm-hmm. organizations that mm-hmm. win. And this old trifling organization, that's still the Jets, where Woody Johnson comes out after the season blasting everybody, blasting Joe Douglas, blasting Robert Saleh. He's mad at Zach Wilson. He's just mad at everybody. So has that changed? Yes, they've got a nice complimentary receiver in Mike Williams and the offensive line upgrades that we mentioned and defensively. What's Woody Johnson going to do? Is he going to sit down somewhere? Is he going to sit down and let his football people do what they got to do? Or is he just going to just kind of hover and be a nuisance? Because organizations win. Organizations, not individuals.
Well, thankfully, we know what Aaron Rodgers is not going to do, and that's run for vice president. I'm glad that story ended about as quickly as it started. Knock on wood. But wait, you got so much smoke for the Jets. What about your Patriots, big dog? What about your golden goose?
Also known as the college fund.
You know what I'm saying?
I went
all in on not going all in on, you know, the offseason Super Bowl and not crowning anybody. Rest in peace, Dennis Green. In March, but if I were hypothetically into losers and winners in free agency, I think we'd know what column the Patriots would be in. If I were into such, you know, declarations, because the Patriots, man, like I thought they were tired of missing the playoffs. Mr. Kraft was, you know, pretty adamant about wasn't up to the standard, and I don't see an urgency or an aggression that I would expect from somebody who said, you know, this is not what we've come to expect around here in England. It seems like they're more than content with six for now.
You ever hear from these folks? They got like, and not that, you know, I don't know anybody like this, but I've heard, you know, families that got like 8, 9 siblings, 10 siblings. And you always wonder what happens at the holidays? What happens at birthdays? And, you know, what's under the tree? Sensible gifts. Like, hey, we got some socks for you. Here you go. Here's something. We got a broom for you. We got a mop for you. We got practical things around the house. That's what the Patriots did this offseason. They picked up
Sidebar. Yeah. The older you get, don't you love those practical things? Like, I've come to embrace, I'll take a nice pair of socks in a second. Like, I'll take some underwear because I probably got a few too many holes in the underwear that I do wear. So thank you for saving me the trip to replace it. Like, I don't turn up my nose at these practical gifts. I like practicality.
If you feel that way, you should appreciate the New England Patriots offseason because they did.
I love Jacoby Brissett. I love Unk.
They needed draws.
They needed some draws. They had
holes in their
KJ
socks.
KJ Osborne is a nice pair of Fruit of the Loom is what you're saying.
Okay,
a nice three-pack of Fruit of the Looms or Hanes.
That's what they did. They're so – Mike, I just need you to understand, the New England Patriots, everybody out there, if, you know, you watch the Dynasty and you're thinking about Bill Belichick and Tom Brady in the good old days, that was great. And believe me, it was great for the Hollies. There's UNCF and there's the Patriots. Edge, the Patriots for the Hollies. Okay, so – all these great things, the Patriots, you need to look at them as an expansion team. The New England Patriots are an expansion team. And all they did was sign capable players. They didn't sign anybody great, but capable players. Some of their own capable players.
Does this harken back to, I don't know, the 2001 offseason? Is that what, you know? A lot of Filene's basement shopping, as I remember someone once described.
Shout out Filene's. Rest in power, Filene's. Roman Pfeiffer, Brian Cox, Larry Izzo, that kind of thing.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they picked up, you know, they picked up some guys like KJ Osborne. He's a good player. And they signed a lot of, you know, Jacoby Brissett, Antonio Gibson, just like solid, just a lot of solid guys. They didn't sign anybody bad.
That's sexy. Yeah.
There's not a signing that I say, well, why'd you sign that guy? But there's not a signing that makes you go, ooh. Even you, who appreciate your nice pair of socks, you don't look at Savannah and Sarah and say, woo! this is fantastic.
Depends on the socks. You know.
Thank you. This is helpful. So New England Patriots.
Just what I need. Just what I need.
They're so practical.
Not what I wanted is what I needed.
They're so practical, Mike, that when we talk this time next year, we may have the third, fourth, fifth pick of the draft. They'll be right back here. Just a nice little offseason for them.
Let's get to the number one pick of the draft, the presumptive number one pick of the draft. That's Caleb Williams. Let's stay on campus speaking to college. Dude, don't do this again. Come on, man.
You can't sit up here lying like another. Like, I know
I'm
you were lying on Monday. You were
lying. So, you ever have that situation where, like, you tell somebody they're lying and they start laughing and then that. Confirms for you that they're lying, but they're only laughing because it's funny. I'm not laughing because I'm lying. I'm laughing because it's funny and flattering that you think I know anything. I appreciate that. I appreciate that my reputation
out there.
As an NFL insider.
Thursdays during the NFL season for Amazon Prime Video.
I'm out in these streets. Sure.
Do I make some phone calls?
Do I talk to some people?
Sure.
But, I mean, I'm laughing because you assume I know something when nothing could be farther from the truth.
But I think people need to understand. A lot of the insiders, I'm not naming any names, but a lot of the insiders out there today are almost caricatures of what an insider is. You know, they pound their chest and... you know, I'm told, and, you know, sources say, and they just kind of, they harumph, and they can't stay off, they can't stay off social media to tell you, to tell you like, just, you know, meh information. But you've never been that kind of insider. See, Mike Smith, he's an insider for the culture. He's an insider for the culture. You know, a brother like Mike Smith, he's kind of smooth. You know, things just kind of happen. He knows information, but he won't just kind of say, I found this out. And be like, oh, that's good to know. And he'll put it away. Yeah. And he'll drop it in the conversation. Real smooth, like. So,
and those that know,
I know how you roll.
Those that know, I don't need, to keep score. I don't need to keep score. You know, I don't need to tell you that I was right a long time ago. I don't need to tell you that my third eye seen it coming before it happened. I appreciate that.
Oh,
I appreciate you peeping game. I appreciate you peeping game. So Caleb Williams today has his pro day. He is going to perform for all 32 teams. Of course, only one can draft him. That one is expected to be the Chicago Bears at number one. And again, I told you, I would be shocked. I'm just looking at how Ryan Poles moves. I wouldn't rule anything out. I wouldn't rule out taking somebody else. I wouldn't rule out a trade down if one materializes. But it takes two to, you know, to make a trade happen.
Trade
right?
down to whom?
Take
for
somebody
example,
to want to come
like
up.
You wouldn't be surprised if they traded down where? Just for instance.
You know, just one spot. Just one spot.
Just one spot.
It's a little flip flop.
So Washington.
It's a little flip flop. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a little flip flop. Yeah.
Okay.
A little flip flop.
So he likes two guys.
But
he likes Caleb and he likes Jaden.
I didn't say that at all. I just said I would not rule out anything. It's because I've been doing this too long. Stop putting words in my mouth, man.
Okay, all right.
But if it pans out, you know, I'm going to be like, what was the word? Harumph?
I told him. I couldn't tell him. I couldn't say it then. I couldn't say it in March.
Right.
Hey, let's put that.
That's what you got to do. You got to couch it. You got to, exactly. Hey, Gary, 10:25 on March 20th. Go run that shit back.
Yeah, you got it.
Run that back.
You found it, right?
Flashback, right? Hey, Nat, put that on social. You got to hedge your bets. Because also, if you say it a certain way, then you can't be wrong. Because, like, if he takes Caleb Williams, and it was like, oh, yeah, we're always taking Caleb Williams. We're never not taking Caleb Williams. And if it's actually what it appears to be, so obviously, I didn't say they weren't taking Caleb Williams. I just said I wouldn't. Don't be surprised.
Don't be surprised if.
Yeah. It would never. I don't have to be accountable for that. So that's the game in a nutshell. Anyway, pro day today. I remember pro days. I remember Jamarcus Russell's pro day. I remember Kyle Bowler's pro day. But
remember,
like,
Zach Wilson's pro day. Remember?
Oh, was
high five throwing all Robert Saleh with a fist bump?
Throwing all over the place. Rolling left.
Great.
You know, throwing right. The whole thing, right?
But against, like, air.
Ultimately, nobody remembers pro days, right? And I don't think, I think the last thing the Bears, or for that matter, anybody else needs to see today from Caleb Williams is how he throws the ball. They know how he throws the ball. They know he can throw the ball. They know he has all the tools. The questions about Caleb Williams, and some of them are exaggerated, but the questions about Caleb Williams that exist nonetheless, nobody's perfect, are ones that can't be answered at a pro day. Or at least I don't think they can be answered at a pro day. I think one of them is can he be disciplined? Can he take the simple play? You know, can he take care of the ball? You know, is he somebody that's going to always look for the off-schedule superstar Patrick Mahomes, you know, type of highlight reel play, or is he just going to operate within the structure of the offense? Good problem to have, because I you scoffed at that when I brought that up before, and I agree, because it's like, just because you haven't seen him do something doesn't mean he can't. You know what I mean? Like, and I think a lot of times we get caught up in what we haven't seen somebody do at the collegiate level, and that's why it's such an inexact science, and it's a projection, because just because they haven't doesn't mean they can't. You mentioned Bill Nunn, his father, the late Bill Nunn, the Hall of Fame scout for the Steelers.
Great.
He was famous for yelling in the draft room whenever somebody would give a critique of somebody. It's like, hey, that's coaching. Don't tell me about coaching, okay? Tell me about tools. What kind of tools? What kind of athleticism does he have for us to work with? And it's our coach's job to get the best out of that player. But don't tell me about a flaw or a habit that comes down to coaching. And so I think there are aspects of Caleb Williams' game that may confound, confuse, or concern some scouts that simply come down to coaching. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I would say, you know, this reminds me, you know, the criticism of Caleb Williams. It really is a good problem to have. There was a book written on the Kansas City Chiefs, maybe, you know, probably like 3 or 4 years ago. Really good book called Kingdom Quarterback. Mm-hmm. Of course. So Mahomes, Chiefs. But there's an anecdote in that book with Mahomes when he was his apprentice year, and he's sitting there watching Alex Smith do his thing. And they're in a quarterback's meeting, and Brad Childress was an assistant coach with the Chiefs at the time. And Childress gives a quarterback test. He's like, he has this film up there. He said, okay, what are your options? Give him two options. What would you take here? Would you take essentially what amounts to a check down or a throw that would amount in like a 17 or 18 yard completion? And Patrick Mahomes is looking at the film and he's like, shit, I'll take the post, which is like 40 yards. Because he saw something that the coaches didn't see. Like, no. I don't like, ain't no binary thing. Yeah. I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Right.
I'm going there. And because I have the ability to do it. Now, that'll get you in trouble. But if you got the goods, which Patrick Mahomes does, you see things that ordinary coaches and ordinary quarterbacks don't see. And I think that's what you might have in Caleb Williams. I'm not saying he's going to be Patrick Mahomes, but those guys – with that ability and that confidence.
Aaron Rodgers, who he likes to compare himself
to. I understand why it's hard for him just like to run an ordinary, why would I, he's probably fighting himself. Why would I do that?
Yeah.
Why would I run an ordinary offense when I don't see it that way. And I want to point out, the dude had, how many interceptions did he have against Notre Dame last year? Three. I think he finished the season with four.
Yeah. Well, that's the other part. Like, the numbers he put up the last 2 years, they ain't all highlights. You may only see the highlights on YouTube or the highlights on Twitter where he's picking up a low snap and he's running around, and as he's falling out of bounds, he's throwing the ball. Like, that's not all his numbers. Like, every play wasn't that. You're not going to tell me that he wasn't running some plays the way they were designed to be run. But to your point, give me a guy who can improvise. Give me a guy who can create off schedule. Because most plays are going to be off schedule. Everything ain't going to work the way you design it on the chalkboard, if they still use chalkboards. I don't know. But point is, it's like, that's not how it's
if
always
going to. They should.
Yeah, they should. They should.
Something pure.
That's not how it's always going to go. So I'd rather have a guy that, you know, similar to what Mike Tomlin says, I'd rather have a guy that I got to say whoa than sick him. I'd rather have a quarterback that's got special ability than a guy that's just like a guy. But the other thing that can't be determined necessarily through a pro day, and I think is what the Bears are really going to be looking at, is just how my man moves. Just how he moves, how he interacts, how he carries himself, you know, his body language, what he says. All the things that they want to get to know about a guy that they're going to invest so heavily in and really going to invest the future of this franchise into, yet again, as they reset this franchise at the quarterback position again, like, they have limited opportunities to get to know this young man and observe this young man. So I think the main thing for his pro day, emphasis on the pro part, what kind of professional can he show himself to be at what is typically and traditionally a very scripted, very orchestrated, very set up for success environment. I think the Bears are more looking for the intangibles than the tangibles, because the tangibles, as Caleb has already told us, is already on film.
Well, you know what? This is going to be, this is a different time right now. This era that we're in. And I
new
think
dudes.
Evaluators are going to have to adjust to the era. So go back 10 years, and all the questions you have about a guy off the field, how's he, you know, what kind of leader is he? What do the people in the program say about him? What do his coaches say about him? 10 years ago, pre-NIL, that's one conversation. So now, in the NIL era, it's hard to, you can't use the standards and the lenses that you use from 2014. That wasn't even that long ago, but you can't say, well, what about this guy? Because you hear some of the questions about Caleb Williams are, well, you got a lot of money, you know, hurt, you live away from your teammates, or, you know, the crying thing after the game. Like, okay, this is a different game. This is a different game. One, it's a different generation. Like, mm-hmm. What you think is toughness, whatever you think that is, or mental toughness, right, or resiliency,
right,
that's not,
it's evolved.
That's not the same. It's not the same. You right. got to really understand the generation that we're talking about. So I wonder if people are going down a road that they don't need to go down. There ain't nothing wrong with Caleb Williams. There are no off-field issues. So. There are no off-field yeah. issues with Caleb Williams. It's just a different era. This is what you have. And so right. it's not going to look like
his
did.
His father's too involved. His father's Andrew too Luck. Involved. It's like, wait, his father's yeah. too, well, speaking of fathers, Oliver Luck. Yeah, Oliver Luck was involved, you know. Archie right. Manning was involved, you know. His father's too involved. It's like,
aren't
I'm
you
okay
offended
with that.
It? Oh, yes. Say, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
As
yes.
a father of three, yes. aren't you yes. offended by that? What yes. do you mean I'm too yeah. involved? What's wrong with me? You got a problem with me?
Right. Right. It's my son. Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, right. you know. Being different, you know, but that'll all work
like,
itself out.
But they're like, you know the I mean? Cliche would be fine.
The father,
the cliche would be fine, though, wouldn't? Hey, you know, this kid, oh man, some toughness.
Came
you know,
up from a rough
grew
background.
Grew up in a single
had
parent
no
home.
You had know, no parents.
Raised his siblings.
Raised and himself. Walked uphill.
Hey, look.
Barefoot hey, look. Through the snow, both ways.
He was,
you know.
He was told at 6 years old, Caleb, you the man of the house now. I mean, you're 6 years old.
You know what I'm saying?
He was swinging
drugs and swinging footballs. Like, I mean, it's just, you know, all of that. Right. He's hungry. He got to feed his family, you know?
This guy,
he's
yeah.
hungry.
Yeah,
yes or no, sir.
Football's important to him. Yeah.
It's his way out. It's his way out. Football is his yeah. way out of the hood. Go like you're ringing, like your mom's ringing the dinner bell in the hood. You know? This whole thing is a script from Any Given Sunday. This is Any Given Sunday. This is some Willie Beeman shit, you know?
Willie Beeman.
But no, but having said all that, I think, and that would be with any quarterback, not just Caleb. I think a lot of what the Bears are going to be evaluating is not how he throws the ball. We know he can throw the ball. You know, it's really just whatever opportunity they can get to know the kid. And then he got his visits and this, that, and the other. The other
Before you go on, just real quick.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
Bears or the Commanders?
Stop. Okay. You really, I'm flattered. I really am. I'm flattered. Meanwhile, Marvin Harrison says, nah, I ain't doing your combine. I ain't doing your pro day. I'm standing on my business that has already been handled and put on film at The Ohio State University. Marvin is such a chip off the old block. I love it.
I mean, you want to make a name for yourself.
What do I have to gain by running your 40? What do I have to gain by performing in front of air? You've seen me eat up cornerbacks the last several years.
Yeah, if he wants to make a name for himself, he'd do the opposite of what he's doing. But he's doing things that Marvin Harrison would have done. And Marvin Harrison did for most of his career with the Colts. I gotta be honest with you. I really don't understand what he's doing here. Now, I understand not one or the other. So Caleb Williams he showed up at Indy, just like Marvin Harrison Jr. did some interviews, but didn't do the drills. I get it.
Right.
Okay. Now he's got a pro day. He's going to do the drills. So I'm not going to do it the way when you say or where you want me to do it. I'm not going to do it in Indy. I'll do it in Los Angeles. Okay. Marvin Harrison Jr. goes to Indy, doesn't do anything there, and is not going to do his pro day. Or the Ohio State pro day. Not his pro day. The Ohio State pro day.
Sure. Sure.
What? Like, what? I wonder what the... What's the logic?
I don't know. I mean, maybe he wants his test scores to be a riddle inside a mystery wrapped in an enigma. Maybe he wants to leave something to the imagination, you know? You know, these colleges nowadays, the test optional, right? I've been learning a lot about the college process and the application process.
Yeah, they're bringing it back, though. A lot of them are bringing it back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Back in the day, you know, we had to take those standardized tests.
Yes.
I don't think Marvin Harrison can hurt himself, but he can subject himself. Because, like, if Marvin Harrison goes out and runs a 40, what's he going to run? What's he going to run in a 40?
4-4.
What would you guess? Ballpark. I think 4-4? Okay.
4-4.
Who runs high 4-4?
4-5. Okay, 4-5. 4-5.
Okay, perfect. Which runs 4-5? Which runs 4-5?
4-5. Ooh, they're like, ooh.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Nice, 4-5. I don't know. Is he slow? Michael, you watch every Ohio State game every Saturday or Friday, as it were.
Yeah.
Does he run away from people? Okay. He's not slow. Right. So it's like, I don't think he's going to hurt himself, but he could be subjected to the. He gets to be subjected to the bullshit that is, you know, characteristic of, you know, the silly season of the lead up to the draft. So I get not wanting to be bothered with it. I don't question his professionalism because he doesn't want to do the pro day.
Because of this.
Would I take neighbors over Harrison? Because of this? The same neighbors that didn't want to get, along with Jaden Daniels, didn't want to get measured at the combine? I mean, it's like they all managing this in their own way. They got a lot of people that like neighbors over Harrison anyway, within the league.
That's weird.
And in the scouting community that actually prefer. Why is that weird? Because neighbors then go to Ohio State?
No, I'm just saying, no, it's just strange.
Go to Ohio State?
This is what I want to know. So if you're a scout, you are a broadcaster. Whether you like it or not, you're a broadcaster, Michael Smith. You're a media person. And you're a media person in March. And you're a media person in June, and you're a media person in December. We are a national organization. This is a full-time job. So where was this? Where was this during the season?
Malik Neighbors?
If it was there. If it was there.
It was there. Who do you think Jaden Daniels was throwing to? He wasn't throwing it to himself.
I didn't hear this.
Him and Brian Thomas.
Oh, you know, Neighbors is the best. The people said Neighbors the best wide receiver in the country during the season? Really?
People said he got robbed from winning the Belichick
outside
call.
Of,
he should have won the
outside
Belichick
outside of
call
Baton Rouge.
And not Marvin Harrison.
Outside of home team, outside of your state.
That sounds real. You know what? That sounds real elitist coming from an Ohio guy. That sounds real elitist and real like you're talking down your nose at me, like outside of Baton Rouge, like getting like a little fake Cajun accent on it, like we all know football.
I wasn't trying to do that.
That's what I was picking up. That's what it was giving. That's what it was giving. It was giving condescension.
I don't even know how to do a fake one.
People been peeping games on Malik Neighbors. It's a matter of preference.
He's great.
It's a matter of preference.
They had two great receivers in Neighbors and Thomas. And a Heisman
Trophy winning quarterback, right? You're about to do the thing where you say that Neighbors ain't as good because he had Thomas on the other side and he had Jaden Daniels, whereas
Marvin
Harrison Jr. was subjected to Kyle McCord.
I'm saying they're both good.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying they're both, all three of them.
Yeah.
All three of them are good. Oh, shame on you, Chris Sims. Anyway, I'm saying all three of those guys. Neighbors, Thomas, and Jaden Daniels, who's going to the Bears. But all those guys, are great players. But I just don't remember anybody saying Neighbors and Thomas. Oh, so now Thomas is better. He's the better junior. Thomas is the better junior, not Harrison. Come on, I didn't hear.
This is fun. Well, because, you know, guys haven't had time to really get into the film, you know?
Okay.
It's a full-time job. It's
a full-time job. You're a scout. You got to do the job all the time. You can't just do it, you know, during silly season. You got to be a scout
But you're getting more information. You're looking closer at the film. You're talking to people. It's different, you know? Combine. You're getting more test results and whatnot. Speaking of the combine, Marvin Harrison, it's like, you know, he doesn't run, or the pro day, if he doesn't run a 4-5, then people are questioning him. Whereas it's like, you know, you got guys that were training for the 40. You know what I mean? Not necessarily, you know, training for a 40 time in a way that's going to translate to football, if that makes sense. So I got no issue with Marvin Harrison not doing his pro day. Nobody will remember this when he's an all pro and all his way to the Hall of Fame following that.
Oh, you led me right there. You led me. Did you see this? It was going around the last couple of days with the retirement announcement of Aaron Donald, the scouting report, the scouting report of Aaron Donald. He's a tweener, you know, really, you know, not big enough to play inside, maybe not strong enough or fast enough to play outside, really struggles against bigger opponents. He can get pushed around, you know, all this. He's going to struggle. You can run at him, all these things. Okay. Come on. Don't overthink it. Don't overthink it. We've seen it. We know it. It's the best receiver in the class. Ooh, in case you missed it, run this back during the season.
Why?
The best receiver in the class, clearly, is Marvin Harrison Jr. Just like I told you last year,
clearly?
Best quarterback, clearly, is Marvin Harrison Jr. And the best quarterback last year, I told you, when you were doing the, my man, Michael Smith, sitting down with Bryce Young, having a great
more
conversation.
More condescension.
He was a CEO. He was a CEO there in that conversation. Really, like, oh, yeah, this guy, Bryce Young. And I told you, best quarterback. Maybe not the best interview, but pretty good interview, too. Best quarterback, C.J. Stroud.
Thank you.
Take it from me.
Okay.
I'm just trying to help you.
Listen, you know, if you know one thing, you know your Buckeyes. No bias. No bias. Your objective analysis. Marvin Harrison is clearly better than Malik Nabers. Okay. All good. No worries. No
best
worries.
I will take that.
And, I will take that.
I'm sorry. And Brian Thomas Jr.
There you go. You know the last time you did this? Last time you went down this road of making a mistake?
I know.
Talking shit about an LSU receiver. You remember the last guy you did this with? That you didn't think should be the fifth pick? Remember the guy that you didn't think could catch because of the preseason? Remember that, Michael?
I told you the story, too.
Okay.
I told you the story. Like, I was going off on Jamar Chase. And then when I was covering, when I was assigned to the Bengals, the Super Bowl, they're out at UCLA, and I'm walking around the field just looking for players to talk to, and I see a guy say, what linebacker is that? I don't know that guy. And I look, went closer, and it was Jamar Chase. I'm like, dude, if I had ever seen this dude in person, I never would have clowned. I never would have doubted anything. Woo. Yeah. LSU receivers. There's no cottage industry that exists of making fun of LSU wide receivers because it's not good.
Conversely, it's smart business to take one. Same as Ohio State. Real quick, I wanted to ask you, just keep your Homer hat on for a second. What you think of this J.J. McCarthy buzz about him being a top five pick, about the Vikings or the Giants or somebody moving up to get J.J. McCarthy? Like, it feels like this is a... This is that rare projection at quarterback. And by projection, I mean the productivity was not there in college.
That was the word I was going to use.
But there's always a projection, like, you know, whether it's a system or a scheme. But this one is like, yeah, he didn't throw the ball a lot because Jim Harbaugh, because they run the ball a lot. But when he did, he was fantastic. And his skill set, his tools, his intangibles translate well to the NFL. Do you see it that way? Obviously, you saw this guy very closely in the Big Ten.
Yeah. I didn't see that.
I didn't see that at
Michigan. But I just want to say, in his defense, and all these quarterbacks that we're talking about, especially the guys that you want to add him to the mix, McCarthy, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, obviously Caleb Williams, it's not, none of them came out of nowhere. I mean, these guys were all five-star great recruits out of high school, all of them. And so it's not like they're inventing McCarthy, but Michigan didn't play that way. Michigan played like most Jim Harbaugh teams play. Played the same way at Stanford, played the same way at San Francisco, just offensive linemen who just wear you out and running backs who just all... It's a running play. You know it's a running play, but there are like eight different running plays, and you really can't stop it, and the line wears you down. So he really didn't have to do anything like Caleb Williams did or Jaden Daniels did. It is a major projection to see him as a top five guy. I'm not going to say he can't do it. I'm just saying I didn't see that. If you're an Ohio State fan or Michigan State fan or anybody else who hates Michigan, you didn't fear him. You didn't fear McCarthy. That wasn't it. You respected him, but not one of those guys you said, well, we got to figure out a way because McCarthy is just going to slice us up or McCarthy's going to make some play. Not really. So maybe he's unlocked and unleashed away from Michigan. And as I told you before, wouldn't be the first time.
Well, that brings me right to what I want to talk to you about. Don't be disappointed in your goddaughter. But you know Michigan's at the top of her list, right? She didn't apply to Ohio State that I'm aware of. But Michigan is at the top of her list.
She did not?
Near the top of her list. She did not apply to
Ohio State.
Michigan's
a great school.
But she is interested in Michigan.
And I hear they like recently really developed their football program. So that's great. But it is an academic powerhouse. So I'm happy for her.
She applied, but you know, the process is ongoing. She applied to, I want to say like almost 20 schools. So she's still waiting for some decisions. She wants to get all the information before making a final decision. But yesterday was big. Yesterday was big, Mike. I spent yesterday in D.C. briefly. We took an official tour at Howard. And so Howard, I'm going to connect this to the first four. Howard losing to Wagner last night the way that they did with those three missed threes right at the end. It hit different already. Now, I did not attend an HBCU. My high school was HBCU, practically. I did not attend an HBCU. I obviously did not attend Howard. But let's just say Michael and Sarah Smith are rooting for Savannah to attend Howard. And therefore, I was rooting for Howard in the first four last night. It's just crazy, man. Like, to be on a college tour with my daughter... wow. Life has been lifing for your boy lately and coming at me fast. And so just walking that campus, man, it's a special place. As everybody who you know and I know from Howard describes it, it's a special place. Last time I've been on Howard's campus, I did a show from there years and years ago. We took a show on the road to Howard's campus for their homecoming. But it's a special place, and I really think it made an impression. I really think it made it. I mean, because it's at the top of her list as well. It's one of her finalists. But I really think being there and feeling that energy and just, you know, just black excellence as far as the eye can see, stepping into the Mecca, walking the yard. I think those things, like, I think it, she's not going to say it because she likes to play things close to the vest, or is it the chest? Either one.
Yeah.
She, you know, because she wants to be her decision. So I had to be careful with like how much I encouraged her, you know,
about going to
Howard.
Did she ask you, like I'm about to ask you, what did you think of the Mecca? Did she ask you that question?
Well, she didn't have to, because I volunteered it. You know what I mean? I was more like, you can see yourself going here, right? And I'm giving all the reasons why she should choose the HBCU experience. To say nothing of the fact that
it's. Though? I mean, just like you said, it's a special place.
Well,
like,
but I'll be honest with you, man. Me going to Howard yesterday was similar to like a Caleb Williams pro day. Like, I already knew what I needed to know. Like, it just confirmed it. Like, I mean, Howard, it had to have been some shit going on at Howard yesterday to change my mind about that being the school that I wanted to go to. Because it was like selling a Mercedes. Like, you know, it's like going to Louis Vuitton and having somebody have to sell you something. Like, no, I went to Howard. I already know about the education. I already know about the alumni network. I already know about the history of that place. I already know about the trailblazers and the world changers that have walked those halls. I mean, you know, it's D.C. I mean, it was nothing yesterday that was going to convince me. But obviously, I just want her to be happy and go where she wants to go. She's also... You know, she got that same mindset that I had when I was going to college, because I grew up watching A Different World. So I always thought that, I've had this conversation with her. I always thought that college, you know, was I had to go far away and across the country and, you know, struggle on my own. I had to be hungry and like wear clothes three times before I washed them and that sort of thing. I didn't know, and then I ended up going to Loyola New Orleans and living on campus. And it felt like I was a world away anyway. So, you know, part of her wants to go to the Midwest or to the West Coast and, you know, just experience a completely different lifestyle and pace. But, you know, D.C., man, I mean, D.C. is nothing like Connecticut, obviously. It's still the East Coast.
Right.
We can reach out and touch her. as the old folks say, which is another funny thing. It's like, always like, in case something happened. Well, if something happened, the shit has already happened. Don't matter how far away where we are, it's already happened.
Right.
So, yeah, but for the grace of God, go I, right? You know, but anyway, it's nice to have her a quick flight from Hartford away. So,
that's good.
Yeah, man, that's what we pulling for. But just the experience of being a father and walking my oldest child on the Howard campus for a college tour, I was just like, damn, where did the time go? Where has the time gone? But
I can't believe it.
Like I said, it's the little things. Wow. Just like Mike Williams, like a
couple,
sandwich.
A couple months the tour away from graduation.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying not to think about that. I don't know how I'm going to keep it together. But the tour guy was talking about the coffee cakes in this coffee shop. Like, sometimes it's the little things. And I told her, wherever you go is what you make it. I just talked to a couple of young men the other day who wanted to get into broadcasting and into journalism. And, you know, I was talking to him about, like, they were talking about college choices or whatever. I'm like, man, I went to Loyola New Orleans. You know, you went to Point Park College. It wasn't even university at the time. It's like, it's what you make it, you know, it's taking advantage of the opportunities presented to you when you're there. And so that's what I was telling him, like, no matter what, because it can be stressful for them, too. And, you know, because they think they don't have the benefit of hindsight like we do. So they think, like, this is the biggest decision of their lives. I think about the blue chips. Not blue chips. He got game montage. This will be the biggest decision of your life. It's like, no, not really. Not really. You make it. There's no wrong decision. You make
it's
a decision
and
you make
now,
it right.
But there'll be others. You're right. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. You make a decision, you make it right. But if my wife and I had our druthers, she'd be at HU. You know, can I say that? Even though I ain't go to Howard. Is that kind of like you can't dance with the Omegas and the Kappas? You can't do none of that stuff. You ain't in it. I ain't go to Howard, but my money might be going to Howard. So, you know,
that counts.
So that counts, doesn't it? Right. Okay, good.
You are officially part of the network. You are part of the system now. Yeah. And I would say,
but it was fun.
HU, Michigan. HU.
That's where I'm at with it, you know. But you'll be there soon, man. You'll be there very soon. I'm telling you, it's something. It was definitely a proud moment for your boy. It was a proud moment for me. So I'll keep you posted on the
process. Congratulations, Ed. Let us know. She's gonna have a reveal. Gonna have the hats out. Gonna have a few different hats. Some sweatshirts. Some hoodies.
I don't think there's three of them out there. I don't think she's gonna announce what she's taking her talents, but and that's the other thing I told her. Wherever she goes, I'm gonna be lucky to have her. You know, there's a whole lot. I don't even let her use the word rejection when it comes to applications. I don't even let her use that word. I say you were redirected. And you know I like to say that. You weren't rejected, you were redirected. And so like wherever she goes, I'm gonna be lucky to have her. And she's gonna do great things regardless, you know. So well, it was not my plan to stay in New Orleans for college, but look how it all turned out. Now we'll change the thing. All right, let's take this break, man.
Yeah, to bring it full circle, I'm glad you're an involved dad. I'm glad you're too involved.
Oh, man, let's get Natalie involved in let's run this comment section back, shall we?
Let's do that.
Comment section in a long time.
Cool.